his mercy rewrote my life. Oh, yes, mercy rewrote my life. Yes, I should have fallen. So glad that he did. Oh, God's mercy rewrote my life. Mercy rewrote my life. Oh, I should have fallen. Aren't you so glad that it did rewrite your life? Isn't it good to be in the house of the Lord tonight? Somebody say praise the Lord. Well, we're just glad you're here. It's camp meeting time again on Wednesday night. We're glad you're here. We trust that you have come to worship the Lord in spirit and in truth. I like them both. I like the truth and I like the spirit to go with it, don't you? Amen. Somebody say glory. Somebody say hallelujah. Turn around, shake somebody's hand, greet them in the name of the Lord. Tell them you're glad to see them in church on Wednesday night. Let's sing that one more time, if you will, guys.
Mercy rewrote my life. Mercy.
God bless you. I'm going to let you be seated for just a little bit tonight while we look at our prayer request. Brother Homer Longoria visiting with us tonight. God bless Brother Homer. Amen. Brother Homer, I want you to pray over these prayer requests and just take as much time as you need to to greet the people tonight. We're so glad to have you with us, buddy. Amen. That's one of God's generals right there. He certainly is. Have an unspoken prayer request tonight for Sister Maribel Marrero. So we certainly want to remember that need tonight, that the Lord would be mindful of her. Brother Pinky, Sister Phillips wants us to remember their daughter, Shauna, in prayer. She really needs healing in her body. So let's remember her tonight as we pray that the Lord would be mindful. Brother Keith Yance, Sister, please pray for Kathy Yance. She's having another surgery due to an infection from her last operation that she went through. So she's just been going through it. So let's really pray for her tonight. Brother Matthew Carter says to please pray for my uncle Ronald Kirk. Has to have open heart surgery. Open heart surgery on Thursday or Friday. So we certainly want to pray for that need tonight. Brother Johnny and Sister Ann. Doctors have said that Brother Johnny has sugar diabetes. Doctors have said that Sister Ann has pancreatitis. Now they want me to let you know that they wrap those packages back up and they're sending them back to torment. They're not accepting that. Is that right, Brother Johnny? You're not accepting that tonight. Praise the Lord. Amen. Also want to remember Michael Little in prayer, right foot infected. So let's pray for that need tonight as we pray. Please remember Sister Tessa's daughter, Joanna, and her family in Florida, all the others in the path of the hurricane. So let's remember those folks, that the Lord would just be mindful of them. Brother Keith Phillips says to please pray for a nurse at the ER that I work with. She specifically asked for prayer. Her name is Shauna. So we're asking just that the Lord would be mindful of that need tonight. I want to pray for Sister Sue and Brother Bob Strayer's daughter, Janet, who is going in this coming Friday for hip replacement. They also have so much confidence in her prayers, and they're asking that we would just remember them as we pray tonight. Very special unspoken prayer request for Sister Shirley Lunsford. The Lord knows all about. We'll just commit that to the Lord. I want to please pray for Brother Lloyd Vermillion from Alabama, his great-granddaughter. Her name is Natalie Lover. She is 3 years old, being treated for neurofibromatosis, which runs in her father's family. She is showing signs of that. Also has a speech impediment because one side of her tongue is thicker than the other side. So they're asking that we would remember those needs tonight. Brother Byron Palmer says, please remember my daughter Mary Elizabeth and her family in prayer. They're in the projected path of Hurricane Matthew. We have seen God turn hurricanes away from them many times through the years. He is still God. Also remember many friends in Georgia, South Carolina, and North Carolina who could be in harm's way. So we certainly want to remember those needs tonight. Please remember my 18-year-old niece, Elizabeth Blanton, in prayer. She is having complications due to Lyme's disease. She really needs a touch from God. Thank you and God bless. Sister Sarah Townsend sends that in. So let's remember that need tonight. Brother Jose Manley says, I would like to request prayer for my family in Florida as they're going through great financial and sickness problems. The Lord knows all about those needs. We're just committed unto the Lord. And tonight, Paul Arrowood is going to be having surgery for a torn meniscus on October the 17th. They're asking that we would remember him in prayer as we pray all the unspoken prayer requests. If you have needs tonight, we're serving a great God, aren't we? A risen Savior. He's still on the throne. We believe that, don't we? Somebody say praise the Lord. Let's stand to our feet and give him one more hand clap of praise in the house of the Lord tonight. Brother Homer, God bless you. Amen. Certainly appreciate our brother, don't we? Give him one nice hand tonight, if you will. God bless you, buddy. We love you, honey. God bless you. Take all the time you need.
One thing about this is something I despise. Somebody talking before they pray. I figure if a guy's going to get up here and pray, he needs to pray and not say nothing. But what I want to say to you is I want to thank you, Happy Valley Church of Jesus Christ, for all that you did for me while I was going through my deal. And it's hard. It's real hard. But the thing about it is, God knows best, and you know. And I told somebody, I told the brothers, I said, when you marry, a woman sucks your brain right out of your head. And she don't put it back in when she leaves. So I don't know what I'm supposed to do. So I just carry on by the grace of God. Years ago, I told her, I said, I had an exploratory operation, and they didn't know what was wrong with me. And I told her, I said, honey, if I don't make it out of this, I'll meet you across the river. Well, I made it out, and she didn't make it. Now she'll have to meet me across the river. Amen. So I so thank you so very much for your prayers and all that you've done. Brother Jack had come and stayed with me the whole time that I was going through this, you know, before she passed. And Brother Donnie, I tell you, the man just done an outstanding job. I thought he's going to wake her up because she couldn't just lay there. I didn't figure she was going to lay there forever. My Baptist brother back there, and he said, he made me want to go so bad I couldn't hardly stand it. Amen. And so they done such a job, you know, and God just used him so much, and he was able to be there in her last moments. And she loved Brother Don and Sister Carol, and I gotta pray. Amen. Let's just bow our heads. Heavenly Father, I'm so honored to be able to be here tonight, Lord, with the saints of God. And Lord, tonight I hold in my hand these requests, Father. And Lord, I know what it's like, Father, to hear these requests. And over, Father, to hear your children crying out for your mercy, Father. And tonight, Father, I pray, Lord, that you would just be mindful of them, Lord. Every request is very important this night, Father. And God, I just pray, Father, that you would minister in a special way, Father. And God, I just ask you, Father, that your will to be done, Father. Because sometimes, Father, that's the hardest thing to ask, Lord, is your will to be done. But Lord, tonight, Lord, we know that you're going to do it, Father. And Lord, we want to stand, Lord, with open arms and said, Father, your will be done tonight, Father. And Lord, every request tonight, Father, I pray, Lord, that you would minister, Lord, especially to them, Lord. I don't know all the needs, Lord, but Lord, I heard the request, but I can't remember, Father, but you do tonight, Father. As they were read off the pages, it was recorded in your book, Father. And now we're giving you praise and honor that you have met these needs. You have met them desired, Lord. And I thank you tonight, Father. I'm asking you to bless the rest of the song, Lord. Minister through Brother Donnie. Give us our desires, Lord, and ask to be closer to you, Father. Bless your people tonight in Jesus' name. Amen.
Thank you, Brother. God bless you. Give him one more hand tonight, if you will. Praise the Lord. Amen. Ushers, come. Let's receive the evening offering you give us unto the Lord. If you're a visitor here with us tonight, we certainly want to welcome you to the service. Glad to have you here. Trust those that are streaming this service tonight. Pray this service will be a great blessing to those folks as well. Let's sing a song tonight. What did I tell you was going to sing? When I come, do that. You know how it starts. Let's sing about it tonight. That's not what you call. Oh, praise the Lord.
The
you know what?
Lead the blind.
You're all going to get old just like the rest of us.
When I come to the end of my journey, live my lifetime for this day alone. I just saw the light and I'm getting a little bit anxious. I started out walking, but I'm running the last mile home. Yes, I started out walking, but I'm running my last mile. Angels.
crossroads on my journey. And never once has my God led me wrong. The deserts and the valleys lie behind me. The road is straight, I'm running the last mile home. Yes, I started out walking, but I'm running my last mile. Smiling faces, well, I don't feel at home here anymore. Well, I just heard the sound of old familiar voices. They're singing a new song I've heard before. Yes, they're singing a new song I've never heard before.
We're in a running mode right now. We can't drag. We're in a running mode right now. We're going to run our last mile home. Do you believe that with all your heart? Sister Rebecca Horniak, if you'd come get ready to sing for us tonight, wherever you're at in the building, if you'd come onto the platform. Brother Harry's going to give us a song when she sings. But let's sing this little chorus together. We've been promised we're going to make it. He that began this work in us, he's going to finish it. Are you ready for him to finish your work?
I'm gonna make it. He's already said I would. I'll keep on trusting that he's working everything for my good. In my view, oh, I'm gonna make it through.
One more time with all your heart. seated.
I think I've said this before. I rarely tell Louie I got a song that I think I've got a song on my heart that I don't regret it. And this is another one of those. The Lord gave me this song a long time ago. I think Erica's here. She used to like this song. isn't learning a creed, but meeting Him for myself in reality and falling in love with the One who died for me, then placing myself on a sacrificial tree. Help me love in return the way that You love me. Then I know I will never stray away from Thee. For Your love was manifest in flesh and hung upon a tree. Help me love in return. Brother fallen, You didn't push him down, but rather You told him that You had prayed for him. And when You saw a rich young ruler that You knew would not believe, still You showed him.
If He's in us, only deity really knows how to love like deity. Amen. Luke chapter 1, verse 1. I want to look again tonight, Lord willing, at the continuation of the book of Acts. How many believes we have a book of Acts church here?
Amen.
You do realize that means more than healing, of course. That means opposition. It means trouble. That means people will come here to try to cause trouble. Why? Because we're a Book of Acts church. They always do that. That's one of the signs God's with us. Is the devil hates us. Well, we just like to let the devil know that works the other way around too. We hate him. Luke chapter 1, verse 1. Forasmuch as many have taken in hand to set forth in order a declaration of those things which are most surely believed among us, even as they delivered them unto us, which from the beginning were eyewitnesses and ministers of the word. And I remind you now that Luke was not an eyewitness, neither was Mark. Well, that's for another time. Luke wasn't, and neither was Mark. It seemed good to me also, having had perfect understanding of things, of all things, from the very first. As I said, perfect understanding is actually better in one sense of being an eyewitness. You could be an eyewitness and still not know what you saw. But if you got understanding, amen, that's what we want in this hour. To write unto thee in order, most excellent Theophilus. Theophilus meaning friend of God. The person Luke addressed his gospel in the book of Acts to, probably an official of high rank, a Gentile of rank and consideration who came under the influence of Luke or Paul at Rome and was converted to the Christian faith. That thou mightest know the certainty of those things wherein thou hast been instructed. Now this is a real man of God. He wants to make sure that you know what you believe, why you believe it. That you've been instructed. So you can have confidence. And from the Church Age book, now remember this, Christ in the true church is a continuation of the book of Acts. Not just healing, not just signs, wonders, miracles, but a continuation of the book of Acts. Not the healing of Acts, not the miracle of Acts, but the book of Acts. Let's pray together. Father, we love you tonight. Thank you for your word, Lord Jesus. We pray that you would help us, Father God. So we endeavor to look into your word. We thank you for the scriptures, Lord. We know in this age that we live, so many people so busy and got their lives and minds tied up on so many things. Probably a shame how many Christians don't even read their Bible every day, whether on their phone or iPad or whatever more. It's more accessible now than it's ever been. In reality, probably more people read it less because it doesn't have the same value that it did when it was so precious. But I pray we would not fit into that pattern, Lord. May we love your words. As a matter of fact, your prophet tells us the Holy Spirit feeds on the word of God. That's not just coming to church three times a week either, but that's a daily maintenance with our walk. Speak to us tonight, Father, from your word. We love you tonight. In Jesus' name, amen. God bless you, saints. You may be seated. Sure honored to have Brother Homer visiting with us tonight. I thought I'd be good to him and let him rest, and he could sit there and just be able to take him. Let's read Acts chapter 1, verse 1. Now here Luke is writing also to the same brother. The former treatise have I made, O Theophilus, of all that Jesus began both to do and teach. And he uses the word logos, a word uttered by living voice, embodies a conception or idea, decree, mandate, or order, what is declared or a thought. Until the day in which he was taken up, after they had through the Holy Ghost had given commandments unto the apostles whom he had chosen. In the book of Acts, as we looked at it last week, they are protected by the four throne guards, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. God had them to be able to write, and yet why God would choose Luke, that's his own choice and his own understanding. Why he didn't choose John, why he didn't choose some of the rest. But when you can look in the book of Acts and see that Luke's uniqueness and the way that he saw things and the way that he wrote things, and there was things that Luke wrote that none of the rest of the apostles actually even referred to. And he was writing at a time of great trouble. Now, it's written around 64, 65 A.D., covers a time span 32 to 35 years. So it covers a great, great span of many, many things that are happening in the book of Corinthians, Galatians, Colossians, Philippians, 1 and 2 Thessalonians, Titus, Philemon. Many of the things that are happening during that span of time. When you look and you read it historically, it's almost amazing to see that the Spirit of God began to move upon these writers at about the same time. So it wasn't that Matthew started writing in 34 A.D. and then Mark in 35, but they began to write about the same time frame. Why the Lord would wait all these years and give them decades, really, to where that they would be there without a book of Acts or a book of Matthew or Mark, but something began to inspire them. We believe it's the Holy Ghost, don't we? The Spirit of God began to move on them. Now, many things had happened. Many things had transpired. And And much of what Luke is going to write about in the book of Luke and also in the book of Acts has already come to pass. So he's recollecting what God had done. So he's recollecting miracles. He's recollecting the difficult times, the hard times. And as we'll see looking at the book of Acts, many of you that have read it know that he not only wrote of the supernatural that took place, he wrote of very, very carnal things that was happening in the churches. But yet I'm glad that God inspired these men of God to write of such things, aren't you? Just think, where would we be today? We would be so delusional if we would pick up the Bible and never read about David's adultery, would never read about Gideon's unbelief, would never read about Moses' temper, would never read about Aaron and his shortcomings and all the shortcomings of the people of God. If all of that was taken out of the Holy Scripture and all of it whitewashed and we never saw any of their stumblings, any of their weaknesses, could that really be an encouragement to you and I when we get down and get in trouble? Of course it could. So the Spirit of God had these authors to be able to write their weaknesses, their human expression, so it would not only be able to magnify the greatness of God, but to be encouragement to the saints of God for 2,000 years. I'm glad that it's placed in there. Now that's the thing with the book of Acts. Whenever we read it, me being a former Pentecostal, I can pretty well tell you that it was the emphasis of what you wanted to preach on in Pentecost was never so much the confusion in the apostolic church, never the difficulty so much in the apostolic church, but the shouting, the running, the jumping, the carrying on, all that, the miracles and signs and wonders. But you're only preaching part of the book of Acts when you preach that. Praise the Lord. Now, I realize that as we look into it, that there will be many things that we will wish wasn't actually there. Because we see conflict among brethren. We see carnality among the saints. We see error. We see false doctrine. And Luke does not actually deal with it in an administrative way the way Paul does. Now, Paul takes his gloves off, as we would say, and he goes right down and deals with it and gets really, really plain. And Luke doesn't quite deal with it in such a way, but many of the things that are happening in the time frame when Luke is writing. But yet Luke tends to go more toward geographical places, and he tends to go toward events and things that happen, and yet he will write about things that are going on in the church, but he never mentions the sexual problems in the Corinthian church. He does not mention the husbands lacking their understanding of treating their wives in the Ephesian church. He does not really get down into the private types of matters, because God already has a prophet, and to me I marvel at that, because I see the Holy Spirit using each office by the way that he's called it. And we realize that God will use an evangelist. Don't we appreciate good evangelists that will come through here? But yet we know we cannot live on evangelists preaching alone. And church needs to hear evangelists, not just pastors. That's exactly right. We need apostles. We need every aspect of the ministry that God sent. Now, we know even in the book of Acts that there was prophets that raised up, but they were not prophets in the sense of major prophets by which the word of the Lord came to them of that age. But they were people that were inspired of God, and they would be able to prophesy of certain events that would take place. And they did. But yet they were not word prophets in the sense of receiving that which was unwritten, because that type of a prophet is made to where he has the ability to break into dimensions, and God puts upon him in that realm that which is not written. It is so infallible that God can trust that and be able to write the Bible by that means. Now, of course, we know that people are the same pretty much. You know, people get under the influence of spirits, and the reason is that people act the same way today as they did 2,000 years ago because they're under the same influence of them demons that lived 2,000 years ago. Now, let's look, if you would, in Acts chapter 10, verse 44. Now, several things have happened as we look at it last Wednesday, but now we're going to watch and see how that God is going to do a marvelous thing, and that is the Gentiles have received the Holy Ghost. Now, this is absolutely going to be so phenomenal in the eyes of the Jews and, of course, the Gentiles themselves. While Peter yet spake these words, the Holy Ghost fell on them which heard the word. Which heard the word. Now, it doesn't say Peter made an altar call. It doesn't say that they were up at the altar and they were beating them on the back. Come on, brother, say Jesus, 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 Jesus. But while Peter was preaching the word, the Holy Ghost fell on them that heard the word. Now, let me tell you something, friend. If you are struggling trying to get the Holy Ghost and you've been trying for 6 months or a year or 5 years or 10 years, you need to check out your approach to getting the Holy Ghost. There's something wrong somewhere. Either you're holding on to something in your life, or there's some type of sin or some type of something going on with you. The apostolic way of receiving the Holy Ghost, they carried 40 days initially, and that was waiting from the time of the going up the sacrifice until the day of Pentecost was fully come. That's the only reason that they're waiting. And you and I do not have to wait 40 days. We don't have to wait 40 years. God is waiting till you and I can get everything out of our life that He accepts us. Remember Future Home, the prophet said, you don't accept the Holy Ghost. The Holy Ghost accepts you. So you get everything out of your life that God knows needs to be out of your life, and you can get the Holy Ghost tonight. You don't have to wait for 5 more years or 6 more years. You hear the word, you recognize what you're supposed to do, and you surrender. That's the biggest thing. Take all the secret sins out of your closet. Take all the filthy movies. Get all kinds of trash off your telephone. Come on, saints, preach with me. And the Holy Ghost can accept you. You can be filled with the Holy Ghost right here tonight in this service. It happened right there. That was apostolic. Oh my. And they of the circumcision which believe were astonished. Now remember, the glimpse of the Gentile bride was foreshadowed in the Old Testament. But little did they know, when God was dealing with Ruth, when God was dealing with Esther, when God was dealing with the Gentile women that had been merged into the tribe of Judah and other tribes, they did not read that the way you and I do. They looked at that and thought, well, my God is merciful. You and I are looking back and we're seeing the types and the shadows fulfill. But they were trying to look forward and they're thinking, my, I don't understand how these Gentiles could even be in the tribal line. And yet for them to receive the Holy Ghost, look at their thinking. Now these were Holy Ghost filled people, and yet their vision and their view was so tunnel vision. They only thought the Holy Ghost was for Jews alone. Well, you know what? A lot of the message folks don't think too much different than that. They think the Holy Ghost is only for their Seventh Thunder group or their Perugia group, you know, or this group, that group. God will give the Holy Ghost to whoever He wants to give it to. He don't need your permission or your vote or your consent. That's exactly right. But they were absolutely astonished. My, you imagine it overwhelmed them. And as many as came with Peter, now some of the Jews come up to Peter and thought, what in the world is this guy going up here to these Gentiles anyhow? Now, according to their own customs, they couldn't even sit down and eat a meal with Gentiles. The Jews, the Pharisees especially, when they would go out in the court or they'd do their business during the day, before they would sit down and eat lunch, they would go home, they would wash from their elbows down. If they had touched a Gentile in the marketplace, they would change their clothes, change their shoes, they would re-oil themselves, they would change their turban, the whole thing. They would not even sit down to eat lunch without, they would never touch a Gentile. And if they had brushed by one, they would change their clothes. Now for the Gentiles to get the Holy Ghost, eternal life, they couldn't even fathom it. Well, praise the Lord. You know, it makes you realize, even if you got the Holy Ghost, it still means you don't know it all. So if you think you got the Holy Ghost tonight and you know it all, I guarantee you one thing, you don't know it all yet. Because that on the Gentiles also was poured out the gift of the Holy Ghost. Now watch, chapter 11, verse 1. All the apostles and the brethren that were in Judea heard that the Gentiles had also received the word of God. And Peter was come up to Jerusalem, and they that were of the circumcision contended with him. Now isn't this amazing? So here we have a Book of Acts church. And we've got people that come to church to only contend and argue and fuss and fight and pick. I don't like this and I don't like that. Why do you do this and why do you do that? They're not coming for help. They're coming because they're anointed of the devil. I said they are anointed of the devil to start contention and to start trouble. Come on now, children. Don't look at me goo-goo-eyed. Let's have church. I come to have church tonight. So what did they do? They begin to contend as if so it was Peter's fault. Peter
is preaching the Word of God, and God gives people the Holy Ghost, and they jump on Peter. I believe some Christians are as dumb as an old mule. They're just dumb. What are you jumping on him for? He didn't give it to him. He wouldn't have. Probably he's a Jew himself. Notice in verse 3 saying, thou wentest into men uncircumcised and didst eat with them. You low down, sorry, good for nothing. They told us you sat down at the same table and eat with them Gentiles. That wasn't about half the picture. God got in them Gentiles. Amen. Oh, my. Notice verse 15. Now, Peter has to rehearse this again, of course, before the brothers. And as I began to speak, the Holy Ghost fell on them as on us at the beginning. I wanted them to know, in case you're wondering, it wasn't a different Holy Ghost. It wasn't a lesser Holy Ghost. It's the same Holy Ghost you Jews got. The very same power, the very same God, the very same resurrected Lord Jesus. He fell on them the way he fell on us at the beginning. Glory. Then remembered I the word of the Lord, how that he said, John indeed baptized with water, but ye shall be baptized with the Holy Ghost. Now wait a minute, Peter. Jesus never said that to Gentiles. There was only Jews standing there. His disciples, when Jesus actually said this. Well, that's as far as they knew. You see, the word can have a compound meaning. God can burn your hide while you're here in church tonight and fry somebody in Johannesburg with the very same sermon. I get emails from them all the time. That sermon was straight for me. Just nobody else for me. And they didn't realize I heard it from Illinois and Alabama, you know, wherever more. Why? Because God can do that. So here now, notice what the Holy Ghost done. Though the Holy Ghost, when this event happened, it quickened to Peter the word. Wait a minute. This word wasn't written. But it was spoken. And the Holy Ghost brought Peter's mind back to the spoken word. So the Gentiles' promise was a spoken word birth. Now Peter hadn't even thought about it. Oh my goodness, I hadn't even thought about it. You mean that applies to the Gentiles too, Lord? Well, Jesus, he really thought, oh my goodness, Jesus said that. John baptized with water, but I'm going to baptize with the Holy Ghost. And Peter saw, it's Jesus. It's Jesus filling them with the Holy Ghost. For as much then as God gave them the like gift, as he did unto us, who believing on the Lord Jesus Christ, what was I? That I could withstand God. What did y'all want me to do? Throw a big fit? This Holy Ghost is exclusive for us now. Nobody else is allowed to have it unless they're a Jew. The book of Acts. Can't you see why I message folks do some of the same stuff? Unless you stream our pastor services, unless you're tied into Trinidad, or unless you're tied into California, unless you're tied into Jeffersonville, I'm tied into Calvary. I'm not tied into Jeffersonville. It's just a sinful city like any other city. I'm not tied into Trinidad. I'm not tied into California. It's a good thing it's going to fall off before long and I go flying out in the middle of the ocean. So I'm tied into Calvary. That's where I want my soul anchored. What about you? But what is it? It's this exclusiveness that tends to follow the supernatural. Well, you know, you got to be part of us. You got to be part of us. We got to be part of him, friends. Part of him. Notice, oh my, he said, what was I that I could withstand God? When they heard these things, thank you, Peter. Thank you for being patient. And when they heard these things, they held their peace and glorified God. It clicked. And I said, oh my goodness, God's going to give dogs the Holy Ghost. Glory. Come on, dogs. Glory. Well, praise the Lord. Let's go on to something else. But remember, there was others standing there that never accepted that. they'll stick their head up later. Now, when they heard these things, they held their peace and glorified God, saying that God hath also to the Gentiles granted repentance unto life. Notice now, in verse 27. And in those days came prophets from Jerusalem unto Antioch. And there stood up one of them named Agabus. Now, Agabus is not a word prophet in the sense of Paul. We never find a book of Agabus. We never find Agabus writing a letter to the Ephesian church, the Galatian church, the Thessalonian church. But Agabus was a man by which the Spirit of God was able to give him things that's going to come to pass in the future. Praise the Lord. Now, notice, it wasn't vague. Somebody down south. I feel it now. They got a back pain. If they've been working today, they got back pains. There's somebody up in the northern part of the country. I feel it. I feel it. I feel it on me now. Whoa. It's in the lower part of their body, from the neck down somewhere. I can't exactly pinpoint. But it's a slight ache, like a twinge. How many thousands times thousand you think that'll cover? But notice true prophecy. Oh my. That there should be a great dearth or a famine throughout all the world, which came to pass in the days of Claudius Caesar. Now I realize, friends, a lot of the message folks don't want us to judge prophecy. They want to say, well, thus saith the Lord, and thus saith the Lord, and I feel this, and I feel that, and thus saith the Lord. Look, we can prophesy. I believe in all that too, but if it don't come to pass, I'm going to call you a liar. Amen. Just plain and simple. So if you got a true gift of God, and if it's truly Holy Ghost prophecy, you ain't afraid of it. Amen. It'll come to pass if it's the Lord. Come on, don't get quiet now. You know what? If this hadn't come to pass to this guy, I believe they'd have called him into the home because they believed in the truth. Now notice what another sign of an apostolic church is in verse 29. Then the disciples, every man according to his ability, determined to send relief unto the brethren which dwelt in Judea. Book of Acts church. When they hear their brothers and sisters suffering, maybe in another portion of the world or in another part other than where they live and their front or back door, the book of Acts church helps their brothers and sisters. Praise the Lord. Well, we do only books, and we do only this and other. That's not just apostolic. Whenever they heard they're starving, they didn't send them a tract. Well, glory to God. Come on now, don't get quiet. That's not apostolic. How can we be in love with Jesus and know our brothers and sisters are hurting and not try to reach out to them? Oh my. Verse 30, which also they did and sent it to the elders by the hands of Barnabas and Saul. Now what is it? The Spirit of God inside the hearts of the people. But wait a minute, what about these scriptures that my God will supply all of your need according to his riches and glory? What about what David said? I once was young and now I'm old, and I've never seen the righteous forsaken nor his seed begging bread. What about my God will supply all of your need? What about whatever you ask in my name, I'll do it. What about all these scriptures that seemingly they're going to a land of promise where there ain't going to be no famine? You mean real Holy Ghost children were affected by this? Those scriptures are going to come to pass, but it's going to come to pass via other brothers and sisters. My God will supply all of your need. How is he going to do it? He's going to move on the hearts of the brothers that ain't suffering, and they're going to help take care of those needs. Well, there must be something wrong with that brother if he can't provide for himself. No, maybe God wanted you to do it so he could bless you and give you more so you could be able to help the next brother down the road. Amen. That's apostolic. Oh, I know we message folks are scared to death to talk about money, but I ain't, because it's part of the Word of God. Amen. Don't worry, I don't want your money. I ain't out for an offering tonight. Watch now, chapter 12, verse 1. Now, about that time, Herod the king stretch forth his hands to vex.
Yes, sir. Come on.
Certain of the church. So what if now in January or February or March, we could word it in modern terms. Now about that time, Hillary. You think your rights have been lost under the current administration? It won't be nothing.
compared to that one. And if the other one wins, I'm not sure what we'll get. The only answer is, come, Lord Jesus. Praise the Lord. Now watch how the church goes through cycles. Now you think the devil knew all along that the church was there. And yet part of the opposition would come through local Jews. Part of it would come through high up Pharisees, doctors of the law. And part of the time it would come through Herod. Part of the time it would come through Caesar himself. Part of the time it come through Nero. And part of the time it come through local administrators. It's amazing to watch how that Satan would move upon the church in different times. And you can see why that there'll be no message church that will be the perfect reflection of every example in the book of Acts. Why? There was no church, message church, in the book of Acts that was the perfect example of every bit of this that I'm preaching to you tonight. So this church went through this, and this church went through that, and this church went through something else. You understand why? But God looks at it, and so does the devil, as one body in one move. So this church may be hungry, and this church over here feels the pain of their hunger. This church may be persecuted, and James may be killed out of the church. But the church, as a mystical body, felt that among them. You understand? In America, we may never be prosecuted and persecuted. Who knows? But there may be brothers in Uganda or wherever more. Or they may be the ones that are, we may get it. Who knows? But whenever it is, God will make everything work together for His own good. And brother, sister, let me assure you tonight, the devil can't touch one hair of your head until God allows him to do it. Oh, praise the Lord. What's now about the time Herod? Now remember, Herod was basically a puppet. Herod was a Jew. He was called the Tetrarch. He was placed over Judea, basically a puppet king. Now, he was a man that was, you know, very, very spineless as far as Rome was concerned. He had to please Rome constantly. But Satan moves on Herod. Oh, my. Oh, God, help us. You realize every human being in this building tonight is susceptible to one or two of these worlds. The realm of angels, the realm of the Holy Ghost, or the realm of demons. And Herod, something moves on Herod, and he begins to stretch forth his hands to vex certain, not everybody in the church, but certain of the church. And he killed James. Now, wait a minute. I thought the book of Acts was all miracles and signs and wonders and healing. Everybody they prayed for got healed. And my, just everywhere they... You mean in the book of Acts, some of them died horrible deaths? God allowed James to be killed in such a way. He killed James, the brother of John, with a sword. Now watch how this works. And because he saw, it pleased the Jews, he proceeded further to take Peter also. Book of Acts. Then were the days of unleavened bread. Now, to condense the stories of these, so I wouldn't make them so long, you're familiar with the story. Peter was put in prison, and the angel of the Lord delivers him in a supernatural way. Now, they put him deeper than the ward and under the, you know, the command of the king, that if he's not there in the next morning, they all going to lose their head. So you can sure they want to watch him with everything they can. But who can watch against the angel of God? Now, watch in verse 11. And when Peter was come to himself, he said, now I know of a surety that the Lord has sent his angel and delivered me out of the hand of Herod. Why would God deliver Peter and let James be beheaded? You see, the book of Acts has questions in it. And let's be honest, it don't always have the answers. Is your life like that?
Sometimes, well, God, how come? God, why? God, how come? And other times, God will do this and do that. So, okay. And then other times, he just leaves it there. And that's where we have to trust him with all of our hearts. Now, the angel of God comes and leads Peter out. And Peter comes to himself and he said, my Lord, the angel of God delivered me. He delivered me from the hand of Herod and from all the expectation of the people, the Jews. And when he considered the thing, I mean, he's just standing there coming to himself. He said, my goodness, he considered the thing. He's in shock himself. He considered the thing. He came to the house of Mary, the mother of John, whose surname was Mark. Now, this is John Mark, where many had gathered together praying. Now, they're not praying to win the lottery. I'd say more than likely they're not praying for their income tax and their light bill and this, that, and the other. They don't know what's fixing to happen. It's a great, scary time politically. You imagine that, oh God, be merciful. We've lost James. Oh God, don't let Peter go. Please, God, make a way for us, Lord. Remember your church. Remember what's going on. Amen. So Peter shows up at John Mark's house. As Peter knocked at the door of the gate, a damsel came to hearken named Rhoda. And when she knew Peter's voice, she opened not the gate for gladness, but ran in and told how Peter stood before the gate. And they said unto her, all these praying saints, praying for Peter that God would set him free. And they said unto her, thou art mad, crazy. Their answered prayer is made flesh at the gate. And they're calling the mailman crazy. Now this mail girl called, she didn't even let Peter in. She was so excited herself, recognizing Peter's voice. She'd heard him preach, no doubt, and knew his voice. And she could tell him, Peter's here, Peter's here, Peter's here. Quit praying, God's answered our prayers. And they said, girl, you're crazy. You're out of your mind. Book of Acts, church. Y'all prayed before you come to church. Not, oh God, give me what I need. God, give me what I need. God anoints me to wear you slap out from the top of your head to the bottom of your feet, and you leave mad. And I'm thinking, are y'all mad? God answered your prayer. He gave you what you needed.
Amen.
It may not be what we want. And they said unto her, thou art mad. But she constantly affirmed. Yes, now this wanted man is standing outside, waiting patiently to get inside. While these saints are praying, oh God, send Peter. Oh God, deliver it. Oh God.
You imagine him looking around, pulling his thing up over his head. Oh, good Lord, what in the world's taking this? Dear God, I don't want to get caught again, be thrown in jail again. What in the world's taking this?
She constantly affirmed that it was even so. Then said they, oh God, he's dead. It's his angel. They killed him.
Oh, we have such great faith sometimes, don't we?
Think about it.
But Peter, and when they had opened the door and saw him, they were astonished at their answered prayer.
Amen.
Book of Acts, church.
Listen to him. But he, beckoning unto them with the hand,
huh?
I mean, I believe in miracles, but let's not press this thing. There's about ready to have a spell. Is it not out here? Shout in there. Not here. Mama. Declared unto them how the Lord had brought him out of the prison. And he said, go show these things unto James and to the brethren. And he departed and went into another place. And as soon as it was day, there was no small stir among the soldiers what was become of Peter. Now what if it happened to be your night shift? And you was sitting in the inner ward and you was over here and you know that man was there. You know you locked that, you double locked it. You go and read the scripture and you realize a lot of these guys lost their heads. They killed them. You got to be careful working with the men of God. You couldn't lose your life. That's right. Now these soldiers said, I know I locked that. How in the world did that man get out of here? Did you go to sleep? No, I didn't go to sleep. I guess angelic dreams are hard to remember apparently for Roman soldiers. And the Spirit of God just moved right on them and just flung open the doors. I've got this key right here in my hand. I'm telling you what, I don't know. The soldiers just thinking, what in the world could have happened? Book of Acts, church. Oh, hallelujah. Chapter 13, verse 42. Now when the Jews were gone out of the synagogue, the Gentiles besought that these words might be preached to them the next Sabbath. Now here we come into another confrontation. And when the congregation was broken up, many of the Jews and religious proselytes followed Paul and Barnabas, who, speaking to them, persuaded them, continuing the grace of God. And the next Sabbath day came almost the whole city to hear the word of God. But when the Jews saw the multitudes, they were filled with envy. Isn't it amazing? Folks get mad when people get saved and hunger for the word of God. And spake against those things which were spoken by Paul, contradicting and blaspheming. Now here they are in church. And these guys show up trying to cause trouble.
That's right.
Book of Acts.
Right.
Book of Acts.
Yes, sir.
Well, Brother Donnie, do we have to go looking for trouble? You don't have to worry about that. It will come looking for you.
Right.
Well, do we have to make trouble happen? I don't make trouble happen no more than I make signs happen. It happens around me because I'm a believer. I said it happens because I'm a believer. It happens around us because we are believers. It happens around our church because we've got a Book of Acts church. Now why wasn't they over there picking on the Pharisees? Because they're under the same spirit. That's why. Oh my. Notice this. They were so angry and so upset. So they spoke against these things which were spoken by Paul, contradicting and blaspheming. So Paul up there preaching and them working their out. Now he's telling you a lot. How come you did? I'll tell you one thing. You better watch them people. Yeah, it's amazing to me, friends, how people like this have such a zeal. Some people like this have more zeal than some of us saints do. Then Paul and Barnabas wax bold.
Yes, sir.
Now some folks have got in their mind when opposition comes against the church and people show up to cause trouble. They got it in their mind that the pastor and everybody ought to just bow down and succumb to it. You're at the wrong place, pal. You see, one of the major differences between this setting and our church is Paul was out there in them cities. You come in here and do it, you're on our turf. And if our deacons can't straighten you out, the police officers who attend the church will. We'll get you a free room for the night.
Amen.
TripAdvisor won't rate it very high. I am putting up with no junk. Come on. I'm not here to play church. I'm here to have church. I'm not year to be bullied around by the devil and a bunch of troublemakers. Come on, children. If folks want to come to the house of God, let them come to the house of God. But we've come to worship. We've come to pray. We've come to sing. We've come to hear the word. We come to see our God made manifest. So take warning, devil. Paul and Barnabas waxed bold and said it was necessary that the word of God had first been spoken to you. But seeing you put it from you, judge yourselves unworthy of everlasting life. Lo, we turn to the Gentiles.
Amen.
Oh my goodness. Now they probably laughed. Right, right. Like you can do anything about it. Little did they know God was turning to the Gentiles. They probably thought of these men that they looked at as heretics and didn't have a lick of sin. Little did they know, heaven, when Paul turned, heaven turned.
Amen.
Glory be to God. Oh, when the Spirit of God lifts this bride up off of the earth. Oh my! When the Spirit of God anoints this bride for the last sermon and the last altar call is made and the last song is sung, God will take her from the earth. It is the end of the Gentile dispensation. Notice in verse 47, for so hath the Lord commanded us, saying, I have set thee to be a light of the Gentiles, that thou shouldest be for salvation unto the ends of the earth. And when the Gentiles heard this, they were glad and glorified the word of the Lord. Now listen what some of these early Gentiles believed. And as many as were ordained to eternal life believed. You see, it's apostolic.
Amen.
It's apostolic to believe that you're ordained to eternal life. And as many as were ordained to eternal life believe. And the word of the Lord was published throughout all the region.
Ah. Oh.
Amen.
But watch Satan. But the Jews stirred up the devout and honorable women. And the chief men of the city. Wow. So Satan can't stop these holy roller preachers. So they start stirring up blabbering women. Not tongue talking women, but blabbering women. And men. Notice now, devout and honorable. So they would have some sway among the other devout and honorable. Isn't it amazing that Satan knows who to use? Wouldn't it be awful if down in hell Satan wanted to cause a big ruckus in Happy Valley? And them demons down there, the one who is in charge of all that sort of thing, and they'd raise their hand with a suggestion to the devil and call your name. You're talking about embarrassment and humiliation that them demons down there say, I know exactly who to use. Oh, so-and-so. And what's his name? You know, what's his name? The devil's son, you know, he has caused so much trouble, Happy Valley. Look at that old so-and-so. She can't stand it. She can't stand it. She's been in and out of more stuff than I got fingers and toes to count five times around. She's perfect. Well, glory. Now, I know I've got all the people in the message that do that right here in the med. Brother Homer ain't got none of these kind of people in his church. I know. Uh-oh, I see that look on his face. But the Jews, isn't it amazing? What did they do? They stirred them up. Stirred them up. The devout and honorable women, the chief men of the city, and raised persecution against Paul and Barnabas and expelled them out of their coast. Now, where is Rome in all this? Now, this would have been the modern social media of their day. No magistrates involved in this. No police officers. No detectives. Rome was not there. The king was not there. But this was the power of the local people. So they just get among them and go to talking and talking and talking. And they get them all stirred up, telling them all kinds of stuff. So they got to fight. And my dad said, "Oh, you need to run these people out of here. Let's get them out of here." So they just run them out of town. Now, wait a minute. You mean this mighty powerful church was run out of town by a bunch of troublemakers?
Amen.
You see, friends, these types of stories, we don't have too many videos made of them. Now, we want a video of this person being healed and this one being well and this one, this and that and the other. But when it comes to persecution, us being hated and despised and rejected, we hang our head in shame. Verse 51, "But they shook off the dust of their feet against them and came unto Iconium." The power of the devil was so strong among them people, they just left. Wouldn't that look like a defeat? Well, in one way it would have. But if people don't want it, you can't make them have it. So what do? They leave and go to Iconium. And the disciples are filled with joy and with the Holy Ghost. Chapter 14, verse 1. "And it came to pass in Iconium that they went both together into the synagogue of the Jews, and so spake that a great multitude, both of the Jews and also the Greeks, believed. But the unbelieving Jews stirred up the Gentiles." Now, can you imagine some of these Jews? Now, you read this right and you look at it historically. Some of the Jews that run them out of this other place actually followed them to Iconium. They're on a mission trip. What are they doing? Following missionaries. What are they trying to do? Cause trouble. It shows the devil was mad. The devil was mad. Now, why is it we hang our head in shame when we're opposed? It's part of being an apostolic church. The devil knew there was never such a threat. Oh my, had it been multiplied, not only now in the body of the Lord Jesus, but they're going in every direction. So what they do, the Jews, they come to the synagogue. My, does the Jews believe and the Greeks believe? But the unbelieving Jews turn up the Gentiles. Notice how they done it. They made their minds evil affected against the brethren.
Yes, sir.
Now watch so far, nothing physical. Nothing physical. They're just telling them stuff. Some of you think getting delivered of cigarettes is a wonderful thing. Some of you used to smoke dope. You used to with it. Lord, have mercy. God delivered me. If you don't know it yet, you getting your mouth under control and keeping it under control is going to be one of the greatest victories you'll ever have. Now watch in verse 3. "Long time therefore abode they, speaking boldly in the Lord, which gave testimony in the word of his grace, and granted signs and wonders to be done by their hands." Oh my. "But the multitude of the city was divided, partly helped with the Jews, and part was the apostles." You mean these apostles went around preaching, and discord followed them? Now, they weren't trying to sow discord, but truth always does this. Now, watch. "And when there was an assault made both of the Gentiles and also of the Jews of their rulers to use them despitefully and to stone them, they were aware of it and fled unto Lystra and Derbe." Oh, my. Now, have you ever seen any great evangelists or great pastors make video testimonies or written testimonies of such things as this. Now, I was preaching in a certain place, and they got after my hide, and I fled out of town. Glory to God, I want to thank the Lord. Now imagine some of these unbelievers standing outside with their iPhone. Watch them. Look at them. They're running like chickens. Can't wait to post this on YouTube. Here goes your prophet of God. Look at him running. Look at him. Praise God. And they fled. Now wait a minute. Don't the scripture say that if we'll submit ourselves to God that the devil will flee from us? Well, this is backwards, isn't it? If y'all don't know it yet, before I get done with this, y'all going to realize we're closer to the book of Acts than probably what you reckoned. Watch verse 19. There came thither certain Jews from Antioch and Iconium. Okay, so here comes Paul following this track, and what do? They come with him. Now they save up their money, or they take their vacation, or whatever it is they're doing, to follow this man of God around to cause trouble. Wouldn't it be awful if he was ordained to do such a thing? Certain men crept in unawares, ordained of old to this condemnation. There are men in and around this message that are ordained to cause this type of stuff.
Amen.
Oh, you ought to be so grateful if you're ordained to believe the truth. Oh, my. Certain Jews from Antioch and Iconium. Look at what they've done from Antioch and Iconium. Who persuaded the people. Now remember, these folks have no signs. They have no wonders. They have no miracles. What do they have? Mouths. Mouths. And words. My. Who persuaded the people. Now not satisfied with being expelled from Antioch or Iconium. Now they got to come with them. So they persuaded the people, having stoned Paul, drew him out of the city. Now what's amazing is the fickleness of a crowd. You see, this crowd is where they had just a few days prior to this had raised him up and called him a god. Him and Barnabas. One was Mars and the other Jupiter. But because these people were not born again, they were able to be persuaded by gossipers. So these people come in and said, these men are troublemakers. They're this and that and the other. So what did they do? They convinced the multitude and they stoned Paul. Now wait a minute. You mean God allowed this? Why didn't God deliver it? Why didn't God speak to him that morning and say, now, Paul, they're fixing to do a certain thing. Get out of here. Don't you stick around. Get out of here. God allowed this man to be stoned and left for dead. Now, listen how under the beast anointing that they really are. Who persuaded the people, having stoned Paul, drew him out of the city. Isn't it amazing? They left Barnabas alone. They never touched any of the rest of them that was with them. Their main focus was right on Paul. Now when you read this in the Greek, they stoned him and left him for dead. And then they drug his body like an animal through the street to the outside. Supposing he had been dead. Howbeit, as the disciples stood round about him, He rose up. You imagine how the people thought the man was dead. They had stoned him, and you're like, oh God, have mercy. They bruised his head and bruised his body, and blood and fluids coming out of his body. And then they drug him through the streets, and the saints of God gathered around him. I don't imagine they're just standing looking. Luke omitted it, but I imagine they're praying. God have mercy, don't let our brother go. Oh God have mercy, don't let our brother go. And what happened? He rose up. As the disciples stood around about him, he rose up. Lord, what in the world's the matter with this man? And came into the city. You gotta be kidding me. You're heading back to the same place. Do you understand what just happened? A miracle. A miracle just happened to this man. He was laying there, thought to be dead. Oh, glory. Thought to be dead. But what does he do? God raises him up and he goes right back into the city. I can see somebody look at him.
Yes, sir.
Can't be. That looks like that guy was stoned a while ago. Man, the last time I seen him, he had a big old gash on the side of his head. His neck was broke, all kinds of stuff. Do you know what God done to this man? God gave him a miracle. Now, it was not the prophet praying for the saints to get miracles. The saints are praying for the prophet, and God gave him one. Raised him right up from the amen, laying right there, supposed to be dead, and walked right into the city and said, where is he? Where is the devil anyhow? Where is he? You imagine them people to say, listen, ain't that the guy we stoned? Ain't that the guy we done this? And another devil said, man alive, what in the world happened to him? I thought I got rid of that holy roller. Oh, he rose up and came into the city. And the next day, he departed with Barnabas to Derbe. Chapter 14, verse 20. Howbeit, as the disciples stood round about him, he rose up, came into the city. My, into the same place. But you know what he realized, friends? The opposition was so great. There's no need for me to waste my time here any longer. What a scary thing when a man of God leaves a place. Verse 21, when they had preached the gospel to that city and taught many, they returned again to Lystra and to Iconium and to Antioch. You got to be kidding me. You mean they go out there and make this big loop and then they say, I think it's time we go back. What do you think? Let's just go back and shake up hell. The devil probably thought, I'll never see them chicken livers again. He said, guess what? Chicken livers back in town. You got rid of me a while ago, but I'm coming back for another dose, devil. Oh, come on, children. He may run you out of your healing. He may run you, but let your journey be like this too. Let it be going back, Brother Jim, to blood pressure and whatever more, and say, back off, devil. You may run me off day before yesterday, but I'm right here again at Antioch. I'm right here at Iconium. I'm right here again telling you this besetting sin is going to let go of me. Hallelujah. I'm back at Antioch. I'm back. Look out, devil. Hallelujah. Confirming the souls of the disciples and exhorting them to continue in the faith. That we must through much tribulation enter into the kingdom of God. And he could preach it with more passion than he did last week. Why? He himself had experienced things he had never went through before. You know how that is. We pray for people. Remember so-and-so, they got this. And remember so-and-so, they got that. Remember so-and-so, they got a kidney stone. And you'll pray for them with all the sincerity you know, or you think you do, until you have one. And then if you ever have a kidney stone and you hear anybody else, oh God, please be mindful. Why? You've been touched by the feeling of their infirmities.
Well, remember my husband, he ain't serving God. And your husband's serving the Lord. God help so-and-so's husband. God, if you've got one, or if you've got a wayward child, what does it do? It tends to tap into your feeling. It makes you more loving. It makes you more compassionate. It makes you more understanding. You imagine Paul going out with that loop and he come back and said, brothers, I want to tell you, you heard about me getting beat. You heard about us being thrown out, but I've come to this acknowledgement to know we're going to enter into the kingdom of God through much tribulation. Now, wait a minute, Paul. You mean we're not going to enter it through signs and wonders and miracles? And when they had ordained them elders, oh, my land. Ah. So the apostolic church believes in elders. Now, notice it didn't say they ordained readers or tape players. Oh, Lord, I could have talked all night and I said that. They had ordained them elders in every church. And had prayed with fasting. They commended them to the Lord on whom they had believed. Can I have a few more minutes?
Yes, sir.
Chapter 15, verse 1. And certain men which came down from Judea taught the brethren and said, except you be circumcised after the manner of Moses, you cannot be saved. So here come them doctors. They're going to straighten out these message people with their cocky, stuffed up, demonized attitude. We're here to straighten you out, and we're here to throw you out.
Amen.
We still believe in casting out devils. And if we can't do it by the anointing, we'll do it literally. Praise the Lord. Oh my. Now they did not make circumcision an add-on. They made it a requirement for salvation. You bunch of Gentile dogs, y'all believe it. And ain't none of y'all been circumcised? Therefore, Paul and Barnabas had no small dissension.
Yes, sir.
Look at the word dissension. Sedition, dissension, insurrection, uproar, strife. The word rendered dissension denotes sometimes sedition of war and sometimes earnest and violent disputation or controversy.
Uh-huh. Yes, sir.
You want to rumble? Come on. Now, Paul said, let me just warn you right now, let you know, you've crossed the line here. You might get by with this if we're pastors or pansies, but you don't get by with it here. You teaching these saints, we've labored, we've risked our lives bringing them to a birth, and you're going to come in here with your false doctrine and tell them they've got to be circumcised. Paul said, oh no. And Barnabas said, oh no. Who do you think we you are? We are the shepherds of the flock. We are anointed by the Holy Ghost. We're not missionaries of hell. We're missionaries of heaven. And you tried to come in here and lead the sheep of God astray. Paul Barnabas said, no, sir, you're not allowed to do it here.
Amen.
Oh, my. They determined that Paul and Barnabas and certain of them should go up to Jerusalem unto the apostles and elders about this question. We're pulling rank on you. We're calling you into headquarters, Paul. Being brought on their way by the church, they passed through Phoenicia and Samaria, declaring the conversion of the Gentiles. So while they're going up to discuss all this sort of thing, they're preaching the salvation of the Gentile bride.
They're really worried about the outcome of this situation, ain't they? They're not just praying God is rich in love and preaching the law and preaching Moses. Well, they're preaching the revelation of the end time for them. What was it? The conversion of the Gentile bride. They know where they stand, Brother Terry. They know what they have is not of men. Oh, they might not have known exactly which way the council was going to go, but they knew God had called them to preach to the Gentiles. And what did he do that caused great joy unto all the brethren? Other folks might not have liked it, but the brethren enjoyed it. Amen. And when they were come to Jerusalem, they were received of the church and the apostles and elders, and they declared all things that God had done with them. But there rose up certain of the sect of the Pharisees which believed. Whoa. How could you believe and still be a Pharisee? Let's stand. We got certain Church of Christ among us which believe. Certain Baptists, certain Methodists, Lutheran, Pentecostals. But they believe the message. Roberta, the Free Will Baptist. Church of Christ, Methodist, Pentecostal. Praise the Lord. I got curious just a little while ago. Because a lot of folks don't like you using the word gene and seed and soul and all that. Because they say, the Bible don't say that. The Bible don't say that. And I totally agree. But what I started doing, I got real curious and I thought, I wonder, what other words do we use as message people that the Bible don't say? So I find the Bible didn't say in the New Testament, the Apostolic Church, dancing in the Spirit. I found the Bible didn't say falling out in the Spirit or shouting in the New Testament. Just to name a few. So I thought, isn't it amazing that we take the prophet's terms of dancing in the Spirit, falling out in the Spirit, and prayer line? The Bible doesn't mention prayer lines. The New Testament doesn't mention altar calls.
Amen.
Wow. Y'all didn't realize that, huh? Isn't it amazing how selective we are? Now, a lot of the message folks, oh my, their main thing is altar calls and this and that and other. And yet there's not one New Testament example of an altar call. Nor the word is nowhere in the Scripture. Why do we use it? Because we like it. What if it's okay to like altar call? Ain't it okay if I like seed? Or gene? Or a soul of God that was in God before the foundation of the world? I mean, so what do we have? Just like they did. Which means we're an apostolic church. We have folks who believe and folks who say they believe and folks that believe and folks who say they believe and... But real believers, whether they understand it or not, they say, Amen. I don't understand it, God. I can't make it all fit. I don't know how it all ties together, but Amen. So be it, Lord. Don't you love it? Jesus in the church, by the baptism of the Holy Ghost, is a continuation of the book of Acts. Will there be healing? There will. Will there be miracles? There will. Will there be people raised from the dead? There will. Will there be many more that'll die? There will. Will we still have funerals? Way many more than we will the other way. Praise the Lord. Will we avoid trouble? I, with all that I can, avoid it. I know some of y'all think I go looking for it. That's because you don't know me. I'm a coward. You say, right. Yeah, you don't know me. I love peace. I love being able. Oh, I hate confrontation. Don't tell me God ain't got a sense of humor. I hate fighting. I'd rather peel taters any day. Make jello, pudding, banana cream cake, whatever. And what he put in my hand, not a mixer, a sword. I'm scared of swords. Book of Acts. You think Paul wanted to be this? You think Peter was saying, Lord, Lord, I volunteer, volunteer. None of these guys wanted this. They were called to it. And they didn't say they didn't want it, but really in their heart wanted it. They didn't want it. That's the protocol that, you know, well, I'm supposed to say I don't want to be called, but really in my heart I do want to be called. That's, no, they didn't want to be called. You think he wanted to be beat? Think he wanted to be whipped by rods? Beat, whipped, snake bit. That's all in the book of Acts. Praise the Lord. So friends, if it comes to it, Brother Homer's persecuted. We're persecuted, or whoever more. Will it be your view that God's left me? If I'm persecuted, I'm put in jail? Because I won't marry two men? Two women? Yeah, I'm going to say, oh, I can't follow Brother Donnie no more. He's a jailbird. Brother Donnie's got a record. Praise the Lord. How's your pastor doing? Well, last time I seen him, he's doing pretty good. He's in jail. You're still going there? Well, I have been thinking about leaving. It's kind of embarrassing for your pastor to be thrown in jail. What about his children? Are we willing to stand? Are we willing to stand? I see, it's easy for us to say that now because there's no known threats against us. But if it comes, can we stand? I believe there's some here who will. I believe there's people in this message that will stand if it costs them their life. They're the same kind as this book of Acts. That was the Alpha bride. We're the Omega bride. God bless you. Let's bow our heads together. Oh, Lord Jesus. Heavenly Father, these things don't make us rejoice so much. My, if I would stand here tonight and tell of different things that you've done, we love to rejoice in those things. They're so needful as well. I could stand here and tell of different miracles that I've seen you done. Even this week, still getting reports of the prayer line we had here several weeks ago. How many miracles we've seen you do. My, this place would probably be about exploding right now if I'd have took a service and done that. But when you lay out the other side of the book of Acts, trouble and heartache, beatings and whippings, not only them rejoicing, but sitting crying under the load and distress, cast down, as Paul said, but not forsaken. Oh, we rejoice for Dorcas Tabitha, who was raised from the dead. Why is it we don't want to see it of all those saints carried their daddy away, their mama, their husband or their wife or a child, laid him in a tomb and had to walk away from that body? Why is it we don't think that that's part of the book of Acts? Lord Jesus, help us, I pray. I'm so glad, Lord, when you come to this earth, you didn't just experience supernatural. But the scripture says that you took upon us our feelings. So your feelings was the feelings of our infirmities. So you groaned with the headache. You were oppressed. You felt weary. I'm convinced you felt sadness. The prophet said you was embarrassed. The one time whenever they laughed you to scorn, and it embarrassed you like your face turned red, as we would say today. You was embarrassed. Lord Jesus, thank you for going through those things. Thank you, Lord. When you stood at the tomb of Lazarus that day and you knew in a few moments you'd raise him from the dead, but you allowed yourself to weep, to feel what they were going through. So it's not a shame for us when we lose a dear, precious loved one, whenever we weep and cry. Oh, we know part of it is our own loss. We know that. But Lord, when they are so dear and so precious to us, how can we keep from crying, feeling so sad and so burdened. I realize some of the message people want to make us feel like we're backslidden, we're not spiritual. But Lord, we know how you feel about it. And we thank you for understanding us. You was not so spiritual that you went to the tomb of Lazarus and rebuked Mary and Martha for crying. But you joined right in and cried with them. Thank you, Lord. Thank you for understanding. You had a headache for those who had them. You had aches and pains and sorrows. Lord Jesus, we so appreciate it. We can see the book of Acts, so it has tremendous miracles. But in reality, when we look at it, written over a time frame of 32 years, 35 years, as far as the Acts miracles that are written, there are not that many compared to that time frame. And no doubt there was many, many more. But there was many more persecutions, many more troubles, many more afflictions in the church than there was miracles. And you wanted your people to know it. Oh, Luther had a great move in his day. But when we read the aftermath of that Reformation, of what went on, no wonder the prophet said that he could hold his head above the fanaticism that followed his revival. Those fanatics that came out to try to bring a scam upon Luther's message, when they killed Catholic priests, when they burned Catholic churches, when they pilfered and plundered, all under the name of this new message. And it wasn't just the Catholic Church opposing them, but now it was Satan trying to get the followers of this so-called message to wreck the truth that Luther had. Oh, God, help us. We don't know how much more that we will go through in this life ourselves. Opposition from without, opposition from within. But give us strength and wisdom, Lord. We may be driven out of Antioch, but if you want us to go back, we'll come back with joy bells on. We may have to leave out of Iconium by night and seem like in defeat, but if you lead us back, we'll go back and we'll obtain victory. Help us, Lord. We love you, Father. I imagine how many years it took Paul to where he could get to the spot he'd said, I've found in whatever state that I'm in to be content. Oh, and then he said, godliness with contentment is great gain. Minister to the needs of your people tonight, Lord. With our heads bowed, I wonder how many just has a need in your heart before the Lord. Nobody looking, please. Just signify it by the raising of your hand. Sickness in your body. Maybe you're depressed, you're sad, burdened. Well, whatever it is, the Lord knows. Hallelujah. Don't be ashamed, friend. If you're low tonight or depressed or sick in your body, don't let pride get a hold of you. The Lord Jesus wasn't ashamed to be sick. He wasn't ashamed to bear reproach. Don't you be ashamed to ask for his help. Let me just offer a word of prayer for you now before we dismiss. Lord, you saw these hands that were uplifted. Father, I'm asking you tonight, Lord, in the name of Jesus, that you'd help the needs of your children. The sick, the weary, the oppressed. Lord God, may you come by this way tonight, Father. May you just encourage those that are down. May you heal those that are sick, Lord. Lift up those that are weary. Praise God. We worship you tonight, Lord Jesus. Can we just raise our hands now? My Redeemer is faithful and true. Everything. Oh, yes, He will. His mercies are new. My Redeemer is faithful. Let's sing it now. Oh, my Redeemer is faithful. Make it your confession now. You've asked God everything He said. Redeemer is faithful and true. mercies are new. My Redeemer is faithful. God bless you, friends. I'll see you this weekend. Go in the fear of God. My Redeemer is faithful.